Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, let's go. New week of the Super Talk Eagle Hour. We're on the air broadcasting from the Southern Bancorp studio here in Oak Grove. Full crew, Bob Kelly and Andrew, we're glad you're with us for another exciting week of Golden Eagle sports talk, and it's all about baseball, and that makes us happy. Golden Eagles finished the weekend with an exciting weekend series win over a really good North Carolina Wilmington team. I'll listen to Andrew the next time he warns me about incoming opponents. Golden Eagles this morning, number 22 in the D1 baseball poll, number 22 in Baseball America, number 25 in the coaches poll, 11-5 record, and an RPI number 30 as of this morning. Coach Christian Ostrander joins us every Monday. And we always look forward to our conversations. And, Coach, UNC Wilmington, everything that they were talked up to be, that was a competitive, good baseball team and another great weekend baseball series, Coach.
Yeah, no doubt. We knew, back when scheduled this probably a year and a half ago that this was going to be a weekend that you're going to have to get after, man, that they were going to come in here. And a big road series for them, so I knew what they thought of it, and I knew what it was going to be like, and it definitely was as advertised. That's a great program.
And you made the comment to me off air that they had an SEC-caliber pitching staff, and they showed it. I mean, they had solid starters and really, I think, some really good relief pitchers, although you were able to get into their bullpen effectively yesterday afternoon.
Well, and it kind of took the game three, for that to happen. So the two starters on Friday and Saturday for them were really, really good and got them deep. And then the bullpen arms they used after those were really, really high quality too. So, I mean, it was, like I said, it was just a good old fashioned, two good teams, squaring off. And I thought they were three, hard-earned baseball games. We were lucky to get two of them. They got one, and just kind of the way it is.
I'll tell you what, your staff, though, nothing to be ashamed of. I was looking at stats over the last two games, Coach, the last two games, and I think I have this right, 18 strikeouts and one walk in the last two games.
Close. I'm not going to try to correct you, but I think we're at 21 and 21 strikeouts and one walk the last two games. So, very proud of that.
Okay.
Well, yeah. So.
No, I'm even happier to hear that, Coach.
Yeah. No, it was. I mean, Carlson Colt on Saturday did a great job. I think they didn't give up any freebies that I can remember. No walks, I know. And I think we had seven strikeouts. And then yesterday, I think 14 strikeouts with one walk. So, that was a good recipe to have a chance to win, but proud of how our guys compete. And we had to, and that's why I told them, pitching staff, guys, for us to, win this series, we got to do our job because they're going to keep it close. We got to do the same.
Sorry, Oz. I wanted to ask you just kind of how hard is it to manage, and I say hard to manage because obviously Kobe Allen is, he's capable of starting. We've seen it. We've seen it this season. He's great on the back end. How tricky is it to figure out when to bring him in? You brought him in on back-to-back days this weekend, and you lost the hour of sleep. I was talking to him briefly about that. Is it just going off of the matchups, or are you predetermining? I mean, how do you kind of go about juggling his workload?
I told them last week, you know, we had a stretch where we went like six games, maybe seven games, and COVID went through three plus innings. And I'm in my mind, I'm going, well, this can happen. You know, I got to get him on the mound more. And so I told him last week, I said, man, get ready. I'm fixing to wear you down. And, you know, and he said, come on, that's what I want. And I know it is. But so, yeah, I mean, you're at a point now where it's, you got to go. And I knew he can bounce back. He threw 20 pitches on Saturday. I knew he was fine to throw an inning or two on Sunday. I mean, that's just how he's made, who he is, his makeup, his toughness, you know, and you know, a small net considered. But no, he knows, you know, he's been part of five decisions, you know, five of our 11 wins. He's right there in it. And, you know, two of them are wins. You know, two wins and three saves. So that's five pretty important aspects that he's been part of our wins on.
And then another aspect of the pitching staff I wanted to ask you about. I know you've gone back and forth between Matt Adams and Graydon Harris. I'm sure you'd have liked Harris to go deeper into Sunday, but you know, we just mentioned that strikeout to walk ratio. I can't recall how many guys you brought in on Sunday, but you have to feel good about the result for the back end pitching, especially coming off that midweek loss to State.
Oh, absolutely. I thought yesterday was exactly what you hope to see out of your bullpen. Come in and do your job. Whatever your job is, doesn't mean you're going to give up a hitter. You know, you don't have to be perfect, but just do your job and minimize. And I thought we did. I thought that was very efficient between, you know, all those guys that came in. And I can't really remember them all, to be honest with you. But, you know, no, that's what we need. That's what needs to happen. And that's just, you know, part of a guy that comes out of that bullpen is to come in and you got to fill up the zone and give your team a chance.
Coach Ostrander, how do you determine who your Friday, Saturday, and Sunday guys are? And who they'll be?
Like in the fall, or
no. Yeah, now in this part of the season.
Well, Kelly, there's no secret sauce to it. I mean, you make that determination. Sometimes you look at matchups, but I think I got a pretty good idea of what I think needs to happen. And you know what I'd like to see happen. And sometimes that's easier said than done. But you know, at this point, I know there could be some. I'm not saying there will be changes coming up or could be some changes, but right now we feel like we got an idea of, you know, the route we need to try to go.
How, especially because I know you like to keep your guys in a rhythm, particularly the starting pitchers. Is it harder to move things around? And again, not saying you are, but is it harder to move things down the road as you get further into it of moving the starting pitching rotation around? I know you've done it in the past, but does that play a big role in that decision?
Not really. I mean, you know, it's a feel thing. It's a puzzle. And when all the pieces connect and fit, then you kind of feel it, you know it. And sometimes you got to move pieces around. And I don't know what the future holds in that regards. I mean, I'm going to give my guys the opportunity to go out there and compete and prove it and stuff. But there's also a rhythm to it and things of that nature. So I don't claim to have all the answers right now or all the perfect, you know, fits of things. But so far, I think we've competed really good except for a couple Tuesdays, which is, you know, kind of coincided with the time that we had a couple of our key arms out that weren't available. And it really, you know, shortened us up a little bit. So hopefully now with Graydon back and Chandler feeling better, getting back out there, that we'll be able to, you know, have a different approach to some of these Tuesday games.
Coach, Cross Sibley's performance needs no explanation. He's just been outstanding. I'm curious to get your take on and where you think JB Middleton is right now and his starting role on Friday nights.
I think JB has done great. You know, I think he is really he was smooth that past Friday. Everything going great. I love what I was seeing. I love the adjustment we worked on during the week with a little more tempo and just all that stuff, and everything was looking really good. Made one bad pitch, the guy hits a home run, and then, you know, we had a four pitch walk and then a triple, and you look up and going, man, this thing, you know, just kind of spiraled quickly, you know. And and I told him, and you know, thereafter, and I said, hey, the home run's a home run, big deal, one's not going to beat you. Don't compound things by losing focus, you know, that next batter and so on and so on. So he's learning, man. He's still growing and he's still figuring some of things out and stuff. And he's done a great job for us up to this point. So I like where he's at. He just needs to keep evolving. And Cross, man, he's very consistent. He looks like a guy that's throwing 150 innings at this level. You know, I mean, that's consistency, experience, and all that. They kind of go hand in hand.
No question. His pitching has just been stellar. No question about it. We're talking head baseball coach Christian Ostrander. Going to continue our conversation as the Golden Eagles remain in all three major top 25 polls this week and face a really interesting matchup tomorrow night. I'm going to ask Coach Oz about this tomorrow night. It's a team, Kelly, that I think it's fair to say the average fan would say, I've never heard of them. And then you say, well, they have the number one RPI in the country.
Well, there's a bunch of letters that go in their names and very few vowels. You know, so people are going, I don't even know what those initials stand for. So
people smarter than us are setting up the RPI. That's very, very clear at this point. All right, more with Coach Ostrander right on the other side of the break. Don't forget about our podcast. Thousands of you do every month. We appreciate that. Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, or you can tell Alexa or Siri to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Hey, Southern Miss fans, TrustCare Health is proud to support the Golden Eagles and help keep our community in top shape. Whether you're cheering at the Rock or the Peak, TrustCare has your back with convenient walk-in clinics and top-notch care for your urgent primary and kids' care needs. From game day injuries to everyday health needs, TrustCare is your go-to team. Visit us in Hattiesburg and Laurel, and let's keep the spirit of Southern Miss soaring to the top. Visit TrustCareHealth.com for more details. TrustCare Health. Feel better faster.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, welcome back. Super Talk Eagle Hour. We always enjoy talking baseball, and so far it's just been great because we've won every weekend series, and this weekend no different over, again, a really good NC Wilmington team. Coach, I want to skip to that game Saturday. That was one of those old-fashioned type of games that Kelly Sander loves. As a fan, it really does make you very nervous and uncomfortable. But, you know, a 2-1 walk-off in the bottom of the ninth, that's old-timey fun baseball, right, Coach?
Yeah, I mean, sure, the way it ended, it was fun. But, you know, getting to that point, because I knew, you know, runs were going to be at a premium, and we had to do a really good job of being extremely gritty, and we couldn't give up anymore, you know. So, and luckily, you know, between Cross and Colby, they did just that. And set it up to where, you know, one swing was a difference.
Yeah, no question about that. And so much fun watching Cross Sibley pitch. What's he doing that's working so well for him, Coach?
Well, he's really through the three pitches really well. His percentages on his three pitches are very, I would like to say, balanced. It's not like there's one discrepancy to where it's, you know, 60% fastballs and, you know, 30% this pitch and 10%. He's really divvied it up to where and landing it and high strike percentage to where they really – it's hard to game plan. It's, you know, it's just – there's so many things that could come at him. So that's one thing, a strike percentage, three-pitch mix, and just experience. Like I've said it many, many times, just the experience factor. He's been out there. He's keeping his heart rate slow. And even when, you know, runners get on and stuff like that.
Coach, you are the pitching guy, so I want to talk pitching mechanics for just this question. Cross-civilly, we've noted how big his legs are. J.B. Middleton has big legs. Nolan Ryan said when he eventually retired, his arm could have gone another two seasons, but his legs were shot. But yet, recruiter, you know, you're always looking for guys that can throw 97 and all that sort of thing. But would you address the importance of core and the legs when it comes to pitching and the importance of strength in that part of the body?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's foundation. You know, your lower half is the foundation. It's the concrete slab, if you will, for a house. I mean, you got to have a strong foundation to have the stamina, the ability to go out and throw 100 pitches, to be able to repeat body movements. And then the element of the core and the lower half, the rotational aspect of pitching is a lot of power comes from. That's where, right. You know, hand speed and velocity comes from. So a strong lower half, strong core allows you to have maybe a better rotation, more powerful rotation and all that stuff. So it's extremely important. And we got the best in the business, Coach Mack, what he does in there with them. Those dudes, they throw around some really heavy weight.
Oz, I want to ask you about the upcoming midweek game against UT Rio Grande Valley. They are as Bob mentioned, the number one RPI team right now. Of course, RPI is still shaking out, but they're a very, very good baseball team. We kind of talked a little bit about them last week, separately off air, of course. But what's the key with these guys? They seem like they can swing the bat like nobody's business. They put it on Dallas Baptist, who is known to play very good baseball, as you guys know.
Yeah, no, I mean it's obviously they got a good thing going, and they're well coached. Obviously, those guys are doing a great job, and got confidence right now. I think, you know, they're hot. They're confident. They've been winning, and you know, that's a pretty powerful ingredient. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be a great challenge. But what else is new? I think every game we've played in the last 2 weeks has been extremely challenging, and you know, so you got to go play good baseball, and we're up for it. Our guys know, you know, everybody hears about all the talk. UT, all GVs coming in here, hot, this and that, and good. That's kind of what we want, and you know, looking forward to it and embracing it. But we've, you know, I've started diving into some video and things of that nature. One thing that sticks out though is they got some age. You know, they got some hitters that's been there a while. They got some age and experience. So you know, that's a good thing. And, you know, we'll be up for the challenge, look forward to it, and try to get on the good side on a Tuesday. You know, we played three Tuesday games. One of them was really good. The other two stunk. And so hopefully we can have this fourth one be really good.
Coach, you had a magnificent center fielder last year in DMAC, obviously, and everybody thought, oh, man, we'll never be able to replace him. But I got to tell you, Jake Cook looks like to me he's got blazing speed. He can swing the bat. He can play center field. It looks like to me that he could step in a big way to replace Dalton McIntyre.
Oh, there's no doubt. Dalton's phenomenal. He had an unbelievable year. Helped us win a lot of games and big part of this program. So glad he was here, albeit just 1 year. But Jake is right there, man. And I was very cautious, you know, preseason, whenever talking about it, knowing. I trusted my eyes, and I felt like this dude's got a shot to do this, man. He really does. He embraces it. And our whole coaching staff felt that way, you know. And it's just good to see him go out there and do it and utilize the skill set and really buy into a certain identity as a hitter, kind of like Dalton did last year. That's it's fun to see.
Is he the fastest kid on the team, Coach?
100%.
Yeah, he can motor it, man. He can run.
Oz, you know, I know you get a lot of credit for being a great pitching coach, but I don't know if it's just luck and how it's worked out, but four of the last five center fielders at Southern Miss have been drafted, the one exception being Gabe Montenegro, who, if COVID probably doesn't happen, probably does get drafted. Is that just the luck of recruiting, or is there some sort of science that we don't know about?
No, I mean, I think back, you know, you're dating back to Reed Trimble, who was a high school signee out of Northwest Rankin, that 2020, you didn't get to see a whole season because of COVID, but Reed was really starting to do cool things, you know, then COVID shut it down. But then in 21, obviously, you know, I mean, he just keeps getting better and better and better and ends up being a second rounder. And then Etzel, you know, I think Coach Creel kind of landed that guy, found him, and over there in Texas, and we were able to secure him, and another one that just, you know, was just what we needed, and so forth. there. And then Dalton, out of Meridian, thinking he might be a pitcher and be something. He's kind of like we felt with Cook when we signed Cook. He's left-handed. There's something there, and both athletic. And I don't know, man. Maybe there's something in the water here that these guys get here and they just turn into great fielders. I don't know, but very thankful.
And the fun trivia for the fans, the other center fielder I referenced is Matt Wallner, because he was a starting center fielder for a couple years.
Did he turn out very good?
I think he's doing fine. He's making a lot more money than all three of us on
this
show.
He just sort of disappeared, didn't he, Coach Oz, after he left Southern Miss? Nobody ever heard of Wallner again.
What's that?
I said, after Matt Wallner graduated, he just sort of disappeared. No one's ever heard of him again, right?
No, I don't know about that. Been around a good bit, but no, he's doing great, and so proud for him and the career he's having and doing what he's doing, and you know, we wish him and all the former Eagles out, you know, in professional baseball the best of luck.
Coach, you sort of mentioned it a minute ago, but a lot was made about how difficult the schedule was going to be and this gauntlet that you were running after your opening weekend series. Just one good team after another after another after another. But here you sit, Coach, 11-5. You've played very competitively in every game, with the exception, as you mentioned, of the two midweek games. Overall, your satisfaction rate at this point, getting through this mirage of tough teams that you've put your team up against.
Well, I'm very proud of the guys. I really am. I mean, it falls hard, and you know, and we've challenged them. It's not like, oh, the challenge is over. Let's just, everything's going to be, you know, sunshine and rainbows. Every game's a challenge. You got to go out there and just compete. But they're battle tested. They've proven in their chapters of the story they're writing. Now, every game's a chapter. They see that, hey, we can bounce back and win the series after getting beat on Friday. Mm-hmm. We can go on the road and beat a really good team. We can chop down this, you know, this ace of a pitcher and get them late, just all those things. And so very proud of that aspect with these guys, the resiliency, their toughness and their unity to be able to bounce back after a loss. And you know, I think that's a good characteristic to have, for sure. So it's I gotta believe that this competition level makes us better somewhere. Really does.
Well, no question, Coach, and we're sure having fun covering it. We appreciate you being on the show with us every Monday, and we'll look forward to another great conversation with you next week.
All right, appreciate y'all. Thank you.
All right, Coach Christian Ostrander, everybody.
And Bob, did he say that Cook is faster than Russo?
No. You misunderstood. Okay.
I will say,
Russo is clearly the
fastest. I asked it after the game, who's faster, McIntyre or Cook, and answers across the board were Cook.
Oh, he can,
you can
fly,
go read about
dude.
It.
He can fly.
Oh yeah,
there is no question.
And he's got and no knock to McIntyre, because he was such a fun player to watch. But Cook's got more pop in his bat than McIntyre did.
Well, McIntyre only had to hit it 3 feet in front of home plate.
I think it was the Georgia State coach or Georgia Southern coach who said, "I never thought I'd lose a game off of a 17-footer."
Well, and in fairness to Russo, you don't have to run fast when you hit it over the wall.
Yeah.
You know?
The Bull is having a good time, man. There can be no question about what fun this kid is having playing. We appreciate Coach Christian Ostrander for joining us every Monday. Always look forward to those conversations. Travis Creel will join us Wednesday, and we'll talk about the aftermath of the game against the number one RPI team in America. Explain that to me, Sander.
The Vaqueros.
Vaqueros.
Oh, there
Vaqueros.
You go. Of University of Texas, Rio Grande Valley.
There you go, Kelly. A lot of letters.
Genesis of Hattiesburg is the official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour. Their sedans and SUVs are the best on the road. Visit the all-new Genesis showroom on Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, thanks to Coach Christian Ostrander for joining us. Remember Daniel Stewart to give us analysis tomorrow. We'll have Travis Creel, the great Travis Creel, on the show come Wednesday. So we'll continue to cover baseball for you, obviously, and we'll be there tomorrow night. Also get some lined up some player interviews that we'll be taking care of Wednesday afternoon, so we'll have those for you Thursday and Friday as well. This segment sponsored by Campus Book Mart on Hardy Street, where I guarantee you they had all the baseball games on this weekend and lots of good food to go with it. Campus Book Mart, campusbookmart.net. All right, 11-5, getting ready now for league play. Let's start with you, Andrew. Give us your grade, A through F, in preseason baseball.
A minus. I had said, whether on this show or another, 12-4 was the ideal start to the season. They're at 11-5.
Are there really any other shows, Andrew?
You know,
go ahead.
But no, 12-4 was what I thought would be the perfect ideal start.
Right.
11-5. Yeah, last week's midweek makes it look ugly, but you know, it's not basketball where how you lose impacts you. I mean, your RPI is going to be fine because you play a tough team. So I'm giving them an A minus.
Well, I think other than the two midweek games, it's just been pretty much
and I know
as good as you could expect.
But you know what? Even that Ole Miss game, the fact that they played so bad and were in that game until the end, I think is telling.
Only real
telling.
Debacle was last Tuesday night.
Yeah,
that's when you just flush down the toilet. And
but
forget about.
You talk about how to lose or whatever. But this team, they have won close games against good teams, and to me, that means a lot.
I think it's just as telling that they have shown that they can come back. That is the biggest thing that you want to see. And the teams don't start to, particularly Southern Miss teams, don't show that until, you know, towards the end of the season. And they're doing it now. And I think that's big. That Saturday game was like the truth of who this team can be in their best way possible.
Because everybody, again, was jumping off ship Friday night thinking, you know, we should have listened to Andrew. He said that North Carolina Wilmington was good, but the way that they came back,
they almost won it,
right? And but that they won it on Saturday, and then to come back and win it convincingly on Sunday, there doesn't seem any crack in the confidence, and they're playing a tougher schedule. And I don't think because these teams that they're playing are all so good, I don't think these guys know anybody from Adam's house cat. I mean, it's just one after another. I think this is all they've seen is good teams. But the fact that they're winning the close ones means a lot.
My biggest issue with this team right now, and I think it's just because you don't have Chase Adams, Drake Meeks, who would have given you some depth. I think this bullpen's not as deep as of now. This can certainly change. We've seen it change through the years, last year being a great example. But I don't think they're as deep as that they would like to be in terms of the back-end pitching. You got 2-3 relievers that you can really trust, which is more than what most teams will have. But I think that kind of figuring out that third starting role, Graydon Harris, you know, yes, he's a young pup, does need to, you want to see him grow. Matt Adams, I think, could be a little more of a sure thing. And I assume he's going to pitch Tuesday since he didn't throw this weekend. But, you know, and that's nitpicking. Other than that, you know, other than wanting to see the freshmen grow up faster, you know, which anybody will say, they're in a very good place.
No, but you look at last year early on, they had some terrible midweek pitching performances. Those same kids by the end of the year were pitching well. I don't see anything changing in that regard, Kelly. I think some of these kids right now get some more innings under their belt. I think they'll fall into that Oz mode and they'll be reliable.
I do have one other thing. The catchers, both of them, and I know Stockman made a great play at home plate with that throw from Jay Cook. They do have to be sharper. Their defense has been
a little
questionable at times, but
Stockman swung it well.
Been swinging it well, and I'm giving Lawson Odom slack. I know people were giving him a hard time last week, but we've seen he's more than capable of being a very good player for them too. So, but overall, their defense has to be better because they have given up early runs in the season.
And a couple more errors that I think maybe you're going to see down the stretch at shortstop.
I think overall defensively, because they've made a few misfires. That's another good point.
Yeah. But I think statistically, get that dead horse out again that I can kick. It all comes down to pitching. And when we talked about a 3-4-1 walk to strikeout ratio, when Southern Miss is putting up incredible 7-8-1 walk to strikeout ratio.
Yeah, I thought 17-1 was good until Oz corrected me. I missed it by three.
Yeah. 21-1. if your pitching staff can put out numbers even close to that, you're going to have a chance to win every single game you play. And as a fan, all
you want
is the guarantee that your team's going to be able to compete. Correct. And if those pitchers continue to put up those kind of numbers, the defense isn't going to have to be perfect.
Right.
The hitting can even have a hiccup here or there. You're going to have a chance to win.
No better example than Saturday's game, Kelly.
There you go. And they won that game.
And they won that game because their pitcher. Now, everybody say Russo won the game. He won the game, obviously, with a walk-off home run. But it was the pitching staff that had kept them in that game.
Well, and I think you got to give credit to Dre Barrett, who came in that pinch hit role. And I saw on Twitter, I think
sure
it was
did,
from Southern Miss Stats
yes,
and Info. I don't want to say I pulled this out of my own head, but it was the first time in a pinch hit role that a pinch hitter got a hit.
And then he made a great play at third base as well.
He did.
So, hey, so here's a freshman, Kelly, that came off the bench. They had played him early. Then they kind of sit him down for an older player, which I think we kind of expected. And they call on him, and he comes in and gets a clutch base hit and then makes a tremendous play at third base to prevent more runs from being scored.
And this is a guy that isn't starting. Right.
Yeah.
This is a guy that isn't.
This lineup's deep.
A guy that isn't shaving, Kelly.
But I'm saying the roster is deep. The pitching staff is deep still, even with a few things at the tail end. Southern Miss, you guys, and they're going to be like this. There's no reason to think that for the next 4 or 5 years they're not going to be like.
Well,
this.
You got to hope that they stay healthy.
Well, that's always
that's. The injury bug has, as it does with any team, it has found its way in Hattiesburg before. We saw it last year. They got past it, though. I think that's maybe the bigger worry right now. But
obviously, you'd rather have a deep roster so that if there are a couple of injuries do happen, you got guys that can still play.
All right, Andrew, tell me how in the world University of Texas Rio Grande Valley. It has the number one RPI in the country. Oz told me off the air it doesn't mean a hill of beans.
No. It's starting. RPI is starting to matter now. It takes about a month for – it's basically an algorithm. The rating percentage index is which RPI stands for. That's how they determine the strength of schedules for teams in college baseball to get at-large bids and hosts, for those of you who don't know. And – basically, it's one big algorithm. Teams have to beat and win each other, and they take into account strength of schedule and all these things. And it's just one big algorithm for every, and every team gets a number as they win and lose. And it takes about a month to start to really come into play. Yeah, they're the number one RPI team. The Southland has been bragging on Twitter, oh, we're one of the top five RPI conferences. It doesn't really mean much. But by the time conference rolls around, that's when you really need to start paying attention to it. But give them credit; they are a good team. They have several very good wins under their belt.
And Southern Miss can take advantage of them having the number one RPI. They have a 10-run win over Dallas Baptist, and that shows that Dallas Baptist can have a game like Southern Miss had last week, but that's still a really good win.
That same Dallas Baptist team beat Oklahoma this past week 11-0.
And every time I checked was wearing out Louisiana over the weekend.
Yeah, they won that series as well. So it's baseball. That's part of it. But, there's no rest for the weary and on the Southern
Kelly,
schedule.
I didn't ask you, what's your grade? 11-5 after this gauntlet they've just run.
I think Andrew's grade is right on. Anytime you even have a good team, look, they're human beings, played by human beings.
They're kids.
Officiated by human beings. Yeah. There's going to be mistakes made here or there, but I just don't know how you could ever not think that that's a great record, particularly with the schedule that they're playing. And, you talk about the Southland, Southeastern Louisiana, is in there, Northwestern State. And
UNO.
Yeah, UNO is in there. And now Rio Grande Valley, which is out of Brownsville, Texas, which is, you're nearly in Mexico down there. So this is the Vaqueros.
Vaqueros.
The Vaqueros, which is Spanish for cowboys.
Yeah.
So they're coming to town. So and you talked about having the RPI in conference play. Well, guess what happens Saturday, Eagle fans?
Mm-hmm.
Conference play.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So
here
we go.
And Old Dominion. Yeah, you're going to look at their record and go 4-9, but they are on the road for the first 17 games of the season. And I assume it's because their stadium is under renovation, but they beat Auburn. They took a win from Auburn. They've played a really brutal schedule.
Yeah, we're going to kill them.
Gut him like
a
fish.
Well, you can read about it in the Pine Belt News. Why is that, Kelly? It is your go-to source for what, Kelly?
Well, it's news and sports coverage in the Hattiesburg area. Right. But they also have a publication called Signature Magazine where all the big events in town, they send their photographers there. You get your picture. Yeah. I don't because I owe the government a lot of money. But you can get the Pine Belt News delivered to your house even if
for
you want
much,
to buy.
How much, Andrew?
$35 if you're in the county, $55 if you're out of the county.
And whose writing could they read? And that would be worth the $35 a year.
I don't know about that, but they can read my writing and Southern Miss baseball coverage.
Do they have Dear Abby anymore?
No, she died.
Oh.
God, I'm so glad it's baseball season.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Hey, Southern Miss fans. TrustCare Health is proud to support the Golden Eagles and help keep our community in top shape. Whether you're cheering at the Rock or the Peak, TrustCare has your back with convenient walk-in clinics and top-notch care for your urgent primary and kids' care needs. From game day injuries to everyday health needs, TrustCare is your go-to team. Visit us in Hattiesburg and Laurel, and let's keep the spirit of Southern Miss soaring to the top. Visit TrustCareHealth.com for more details. TrustCare Health. Feel better, faster.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
All right, welcome back, Super Talk Eagle Hour. 4th Street Bar and Grill sponsors this segment of the show. As well, we want to say hello to our good friends at DBAT on Hardy Street. So 4th Street Bar and Grill, DBAT, great sponsors of the Eagle Hour. As is Mo Bay Beignet Company, where you'll find delicious desserts every day of the week. 2902 Hardy Street, Mo Bay Beignet Company. And I don't want to forget about our good friends at MCS Home Center. Kelly and I have both been down there. Man, it's located down in Bellevue, Highway 98, out just outside of town. And describe it, Kelly, because it really is. It's an incredible store.
I guess you would call it from the outset a hardware store. I mean,
yeah,
but it's far more, you know, far more encompassing than that. You know, things for your automobile, just about anything that you would use in, on, or around your home.
Correct. I think that's a good description. Yeah.
I mean, paneling, flooring, carpeting, paint, list goes on and on.
And if you're used to going in the big box stores, this is going to shock you. When you go into MCS Home Center, someone's going to help you.
And they'll walk you right to
correct
what you're looking
customer
for.
Customer service, a big part of the all-new MCS Home Center in Bellevue, and we hope that you'll pay those.
And that beautiful sliding double doors where I could walk straight in.
It was good. You didn't
double
have to,
doors.
You didn't have to go sideways.
No,
or nothing. Even after a Chinese buffet.
That's right. Could go right in. So they're accommodating us big boys. You know?
This is when we segue it to you, Andrew, when we're talking about Kelly eating Chinese food at the buffet.
Oh, I can't wait for this.
Yeah. Well, it's quite an experience. You should try it. Go with him one day, Andrew, and come back and give me a report.
I'm scared.
just don't put your hand or fingers near my mouth.
I'll probably want to hit a really hard diet afterwards.
Correct, I think so. All right, guys, the conference basketball championship's about to be played.
Actually, the women.
The women are playing right now. James Madison leading Arkansas State. They were perfect in Sun Belt play. Surprise, surprise. Mm-hmm. And then the men's game will be tonight. Who cares?
Well, whoever wins this men's game is going to be the conference representative in the NCAA tournament.
Here's what I was rooting. I can't remember who was the 10 seed. I think it was Georgia Southern. It might have been Georgia Southern. And I wanted them to win the conference tournament simply because none of their four champions would have gotten into the NCAA tournament. I hate this four-way tie thing. I know Southern Miss has benefited from it, but it's so stupid. And, you know, before when the NIT tried to give at-large bids to deserving teams, it kind of made sense to do. That doesn't exist anymore. Can we just add tiebreakers like normal people and decide a definitive champion?
So explain this to me, guys. How has the NIT changed? Is this just going to be now a tournament for the SEC teams that didn't get in the NCAA?
Power fours.
Pretty much. Yeah. Like, it goes off of their, I think it's the KenPom and whatever your rating is, kind of like RPI for basketball. And if you're a regular season champion, you don't get to the NCAA tournament, good luck finding a tournament to play in.
But you could,
that's just wrong.
You could also have a losing record.
Yeah.
That's just wrong.
And get into these tournaments. Mm-hmm. You know, but for the record, Troy and Arkansas State are playing in the men's game. And I know, Andrew, you and I discussed, you thought South Allen and Arkansas State played in the semis last night. And I thought, you know, Arkansas State hit kind of a slow run there in the middle, but then have come back now. But I think Troy is playing the best basketball of anybody right now.
Yeah, I think so. They definitely had the easier side of the bracket compared to Arkansas State, which is kind of why I think Arkansas State might be playing better basketball. But, you know, Arkansas State has turned it on when they needed to. And, you know, we talked about them a lot on this show, and they are the fourth seed, even though they're a regular season champion, right? I think, you know, if you're a basketball fan, it'll be a good game. But, you know, gosh, this conference, as great as it does in baseball, and it's a really solid football conference, it is a joke of a basketball conference.
I will have to say this, though. I saw just bits and pieces of some of the games, the men's games this weekend, and I was a little surprised at how good the crowd was last night at that game. It looked like they had a pretty full arena, which sort of surprised me.
Well, I think it would help if South Alabama's down the road, right?
Yeah, well, and Troy. And Troy's still there.
Well, that's right. Yeah. They're both right there, right?
Yeah. But, you know, it can happen, though, because, as we mentioned, the Southland in baseball this year, they have not been good. But this year, all of a sudden, with University of Texas Rio Grande Valley.
And what's that nickname?
The
Vaqueros.
Yeah, see, Andrew took Spanish, and
I didn't learn a lot of it.
What is that, Andrew?
Vaqueros.
Vaqueros.
My Hispanic mother will be pleased to hear that.
Oh.
No, I took German.
Tomorrow night you can holler, bite that, Vaqueros.
No, right, I don't, Kelly? I wouldn't recommend that, Bob. You know, things have been kind of tense down on the border, so, you know, where they're from.
Probably we need to maintain international relations.
Some decorum, I would think.
Okay, I got you.
But that's going to be a good one tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Oh, for baseball?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
All right, real quick, how'd softball do? We've been trying to keep up with them.
You know, they had a 6-game winning streak. We thought they could win out heading into Sun Belt play, and then they dropped Sunday 6-5 to North Dakota State after run ruling them a couple days earlier. And, you know, yeah, it's a game they should have won, but I got to give them credit because they made it a game at the end, and they kind of responded the way a team that is playing better should. They had runners on second and third with no outs, and they scratched one run in, and they couldn't keep it going.
I couldn't tie it up, huh?
Yeah, but, you know, they're playing well. They got Alabama State and then conference play for them.
Conference play is what counts.
That's right. Daniel Stewart on the show tomorrow. Kelly's working on some other guests as well, I think, and we'll have a good show for you. Thanks for listening today. Until tomorrow, Southern Miss.
To the top. Into the future. Slipping into the future. I wanna fly like an eagle to the sea. Fly like an eagle, let my spirit carry me. I want to fly like an eagle till I'm free. Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.